Morning, everybody. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. Josh here. You get a break this morning from your usual diet of the dual pastors, and we have a special guest speaker this morning. He's come to visit in the past. Actually, you're going to see him probably every month throughout the beginning of summer, and I'm very excited. Pastor Lita Wong has been a pastor in both very urban settings with urban youth as well as in very middle upper class suburban settings as well. So he's had the full range of experience, and he came last month to share with us about, from his experience, how to specifically bless your city. And so he shared a lot about practical and biblical ways for us to be the presence of Christ in our community. And this morning, we're very excited as he is here to share the Word of God on a different topic and continue praying for Pastor Lita. As many of you know, God has called him and his wife to plant a new church called Restore 22, and we're very excited for them. And as they launch this new ministry, one of the things that we feel very strongly about here at The Crossing is that we are a specific local church, lowercase c, but we are part of the greater church, capital C. And so we want to support and encourage those ministries. So he's going to stick around for a little while. He still has his church that he needs to go towards later this afternoon, but he'll be here for a few minutes. And if the Lord just puts it on your heart, I want to really encourage you to consider partnering with Restore 22, whether through prayer or financially. We want to embrace the bigger body of Christ, and we want the gospel to go out to all peoples, all nations, all cities. Amen? All right. And so with that being said, would you welcome up my good friend, Pastor Lita Wong.
Thank you, Pastor Josh. Good morning, family. It's so good to be with you again, and looks like didn't ruin it too bad the first time around, so here we are for the second round. Well, my name is Lita, like Cheetah, and it is such a joy to be with you again today. Thank you for Pastor Josh and your leadership and staff for having me back. Thank you for AV team for setting all this up and all the backbone volunteers of the church. It makes this move forward in the way that we get to enjoy all the coffee, donuts, and worshiping God together. Speaking of coffee and donuts, you know, I have sometimes questioned, I don't know if you have, the way we pray for food. You know, sometimes I feel like when we pray for food, we are trying to pray for the mistake we're about to do, like make up for the really horrible diet we have. Like, Lord, I just pray for this deep-fried salt lick. I just pray you would nourish our bodies with it somehow. I'm going to wash it down with a jumbo Coke, and I just don't know how. There's no nutrients in this, but Lord, bless this food. Lord, bless it. And bless the hands that prepared it. And why just the hands? I mean, God, like, why not the whole body?
No, just the hands. Hands only.
You know, it's something I've always wondered about that. So that's something that we do out of habit. We pray for food and almost out of this obedience to this American culture of praying for food. And this morning, I want to ask us a couple questions. And the main question is, how do we experience God? And it's tied with this concept of obedience. I want you to raise your hand and tell me a way that you get to experience and enjoy God if you are a believer yourself. If you know God, if you follow God, if you have a relationship with Him, let me know a way that you get to commune with Him and experience Him. Over here. Prayer. Music worship. Silence. Being outdoors. Maybe one more. Over here. The national park, yeah. I think these are all beautiful ways I experience God myself. The question we want to look at this morning is, how do we really experience God? And all the things you mentioned is going to be, it can share. You know, we climb a mountain and all of a sudden we see before us the mountain range. We're like, oh man, praise God for this incredible universe that you've created. Sometimes we go to worship and we sing songs like, oh, praise God, I get to experience God. through this incredible venue of worship. And then sometimes we open our word in silence and in prayer, and we experience God through this incredible thing called the Word of God. This morning I want to ask us a question. Is there a way we can experience God that is maybe sometimes we have avoided to do? How do we truly experience God? I do believe these are venues and these are ways we can experience God, but I believe there is a way. Many of us American Christians have completely forgotten to do. We're going to look at John chapter 14, verses 15 to 24, and I'm not going to read the entire thing. You get your healthy expository preaching from Pastor Josh, and I'll just have the privilege of doing a more topical. But John chapter 14, verses 15 to 24, I'm going to show you and highlight three verses in this passage that Jesus teaches. And he teaches us a way how to experience God in a way that is beyond nature and worship and singing to him. And I know some of you guys think I'm being heretical right now. That's okay. Just hang with me for a little bit. So John chapter 14, and he gives these three verses here, and I'll read them. If you love me, Jesus says, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. And verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Father, would you just continue to make your home here in me and in us as your church? We are your bride, and you gave your Son so that we can be redeemed by your blood. So, Father, I pray that you would make your home here this morning, that the words that are spoken, the Holy Spirit, you would bring new life through them for your own glory, your name's sake, to make you more famous in Hayward, in the neighborhood, and the Bay Area, and the world. Do it with every single person sitting here today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we experience God? We start with love. We understand that the gospel is about love, that Jesus loves you deeply and intensely and gave his life for you. And it's out of that love experience that we can start to understand and experience God. We start with love. And here you see here, I've highlighted in green, love. 15, 21, 23. He brings up love three different times in these sentences that he shares. But you can't just stay with love, because there's a next step to love. Because if you love me, Jesus says, you will keep my commandments. How do we experience God? We first receive his love for us, then we obey. Look at the blue. If you love me, everybody read the next part together. Keep my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Whoever has my commands and what? Keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love them and show myself to them. And finally, verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Love leads to obedience, and obedience leads to experiencing God in new levels and new depths. You know, you ever see a lovesick man? He'll do anything for his woman. Because he's in love, I'll obey, I'll do anything. I'll haul garbage for you. What is the result of obedience? The result of obedience is a deeper experience of God. Look at the next color that I highlighted. the purple color. So we start with love with the green, then we go into the blue, which is obedience, but the result of obedience is what? It's experience. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you, and everybody read this together, be with you forever. Whoever has my commands and keeps them, which is obedience, is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them. And everybody read this purple together. Show myself to them. The result of our love-driven obedience is a showing of God. Verse 23, anyone who loves me will obey. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and what? Make our home with them. How do we experience God? It's true you can show up at Yosemite. It's true you can open up your word. It's true you can sing songs. And these are all beautiful things. But the one thing American Christians have completely forgotten, me, myself, is I'm foremost the sinner that does this, is a forgotten obedience. Love-driven obedience. As people sometimes ask, hey, how come I don't experience God? Pastor Josh, have you gotten that question before? I just don't feel him. I don't know if he's really there. The Bible is boring to read. How come I don't see his power in my life? Well, when was the last time we took a step of obedience? Not when was the last time we showed up at a church. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said that one act of obedience is better than listening to 100 sermons. I think American Christians, we've gotten really good to listening to sermons. But when it comes to obedience, we've completely missed the boat. We American Christians will do anything but obey. I'll give you this little picture. I mean, imagine you had you were a teenager living with your parents in their house, and your mom comes up to you and says, hey, I want you to clean your room. She gives you a command, and you're supposed to obey. And instead of a couple of days later, she comes back and says, did you clean your room? And your response is, well, I talked to my small group about it. I studied the original language that you said it in, and I prayed about it. Well, did you clean your room? I did put in a prayer request for it, and I had an accountability partner. We had talked on the phone about it. Did you clean your room? No. And week in, and week out, and week in, and week out, the American church, we just absorb sermons. We completely forget the application and obedience. Obedience determines, this is a quote by Mr. Huckabee, obedience determines, or Blackaby, obedience determines the depth of your relationship with God. Some of us have shallow relationships with God because our obedience is shallow. And oftentimes we blame God, saying, you don't exist, you're not real. Well, how are we obeying God? I mean, look throughout the Bible and you see people taking steps in obedience and you see them experiencing God in these powerful ways. Look at Moses. You all know this picture. Charlton Heston, beautiful long hair waving in the wind. God invites him and says, hey, you are going to go to Egypt and say everything I command you to Pharaoh. And Moses obeys. It says in the Bible, Moses and Aaron did just as the Lord commanded them. And because of obedience, Moses got to experience God's power and love when he freed them from Pharaoh and throughout the entire wilderness journey. Moses would not have experienced God's power if he was just trying to scratch out a living for his family in the wilderness. Obeying God led to experiencing God. Luke 10, 1 through 24, there's a story of Jesus telling his disciples. He says, and there's a picture of it where he says, I'm going to send you out. Go amongst in pairs. And he sends out 72 of them. And says, after the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to go to every town and place where he was about to go. And it says that the disciples, they obeyed. And the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. They got to experience some crazy stuff. And it's because of their obedience. The disciples wouldn't have experienced Jesus' power if they were just watching cat videos on YouTube every day. Obeying God led to experiencing God. When I was in college, God called me on a fast. He said, I want you to fast. And I said, okay, how long, God? And I got this impression in my heart, 11. I'm like, all right, 11 hours, done. I'll just sleep in that day. I'll be fine, be good. I said, no, God. And I felt this impression in my heart. God said, God, 11 days. So I fasted 11 days. And I did not eat solid food. And through the entire time, each day, instead of eating food, I would take up the Word and I would just fall in love with the words on the page. And every day of that fast, I grew deeper and deeper and deeper. God brought me into His grace and His love for me. I had some addictions in my life at that time. I was into airsoft, which is paintballing. I was into weightlifting. I had an addiction to pornography. God snapped those addictions off of my life. I got to experience His power in my life. One morning in the fast, I got up and said, I can't contain this anymore. I hopped on a BART, ended up in Fruitvale Station. So started collecting cans with homeless folk. I went back time and time again, and they started calling me Preacher Man because I would just want to say, hey, let me share something with you. I discovered Jesus. This is incredible. And it wasn't from listening to sermons. Listening sermons are good. Don't stop doing that. But it was because I said, okay, God, I'll do it. I'll do this fast because I believe you're leading me to it. So I worked a couple years after I graduated in corporate America in a startup nearby. I shared last time, I think, it was on A Street. My GPS would be confusing because it would be like, turn right on a street. I'm like, which street? And then God knocked on my heart again. It's time for you to serve me, and I want you to be in vocational ministry. Oh, man, that's tough. I got a job. I got bills to pay. Now I'm married. I mean, how am I going to, come on. So that's when I went back to school. That's when I started floating my resume, got connected with a church, and became a pastor in two different churches for the past 8 years. I just got to see people come to faith. Got to see families. I had one mom tell me, Jesus became the center of my family because of this church. And it's not because of me, it's because of what God did through me in my ministries. But it's something that I got to experience because I took that step out of obedience. Because I felt God leading me in that direction. And then most recently, I got a knock, or been knocking, and okay, I want you to plant a church. Okay, now that's a whole different story. Okay, like I'll join a church that's already there because they got salary and health care and all that stuff. But planting a church? I mean, like, seriously? I got bills to pay, mortgage, all that stuff. Are you kidding me? We took that leap of faith out in September. That was our last day at the church. And through the past few months, I got to see God provide for us in ways that I would never have imagined. And I got to experience God's provision for my life. I got to experience his power in my life. I got to experience him working in people around me that I've never seen before in their hearts and softening their hearts to the gospel. Because of the way that I was, you know, we were opening our home in ministry and the way that we were doing life in the startup church environment. The obedience steps that I experienced, that I took, led me to experience God in deeper and deeper and deeper ways. So there's three quick ways, very tangible, that I want to encourage you to consider praying through and ask the question, is God calling you to obey in these areas? The three are time, talent, and treasure. Some of us have heard this already, but there's an obedience in our time. Matthew 28 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You have a neighborhood outreach coming up. What's the date, Pastor Josh? April 14th, it's coming up, and it's an opportunity for you to be the tangible hands and feet of Jesus to this very community. We're so quick as the American church to raise our hands in worship, but then we just disappear as Jesus' hands when it becomes an opportunity to knock on someone's door, to share his love with them. We have an opportunity here, April 14th, at this as a church body, to give your time, to give your time to share God's love in tangible ways through light bulbs that you can share with this very neighborhood so people that are far from God might be brought into his arms. Some of you are already planning on doing this. Maybe your next step and your prayer point is maybe to start opening your home to your own neighbors. Maybe it's to open your dining room table and say, hey, neighbor, let me cook for you. Just come over for dinner. Let me feed you. Maybe that's the time that God's calling you to, because you've already shown up at these neighborhood outreaches, but God is calling you to evangelize and embody the gospel in deeper ways. So maybe it's time for you to walk across your street, knock on a door and say, hey, I'd love for you to just bring your family over for dinner. As my wife and I have opened our home up, we open it up weekly to our community. We'll be hosting a dinner for our neighbors in a couple weeks, as we always have been. I'm looking so forward to that. They are very far from God. Experiencing God can be quitting jobs and becoming missionaries around the world, but it can also mean living and embodying the gospel right where you're at, in your very neighborhood, in your own home, around the kitchen table, and loving and serving the unchurched with your time. And as you obey with your time, you will experience God in deeper ways. You also experience a lot of rejection, and that's okay, because that's all part of the process. You can obey in your time. You can obey in your talent. We are given talents to build the church. Ephesians 4, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Christ, our head. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work. Not as the 20% does the work for the 80%. Do you have a talent that can serve the body, that can serve the church? Is it in music and arts or administration and teaching? Is it in education or leadership or mentorship? Is it in service and just moving chairs, coffee set up, worship set up? Leon Crump says, God does not give gifts to people. Listen carefully. God does not give gifts to people. He gives gifts to the church through gifting people. And so many of us have taken these gifts and hoarded it to ourselves. We have incredibly gifted people in churches across America that use your giftedness to advance the company bottom line, to maximize shareholder profit. but show up to church as zombies and cannibals. And as Josh is your pastor, one of the greatest gifts Pastor Josh has is to enable and activate yours. One of the greatest callings pastors have is to equip and to enable your gift. American Christianity barely scratches the surface of experiencing the fullness of God's power and joy because week in and week out, we attend church to see the pastor's gift while letting our gift sit idle. While we enjoy the worship team gift, thank you, worship leader, for playing guitar. Thank you, pianist or keyboardist. Thank you, AV team. Thank you, setup team, for showing us your gifts. But what about the rest of the church? You have gifts that God has given, not for you, but for others, for the church. And you will, as you take steps of obedience, you will experience God's faithfulness and power in your life as you take steps of obedience and submit your talents to Him. The third is treasures. 2 Corinthians 8:2, they are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor, but they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. There's a man named Wesley who identified a modest level of expenses that he was going to live on every year. And the first year, his income surpassed that level by a small amount, and he gave that excess away. The next year, his income increased again. And yet, he kept his standard the same and gave away the difference. What if you and I decided that, that when we have, let's say, a $50,000 salary, when the Bay Area, that's hard to make a living with if you own a home, you're renting. What if we decided once we're able to meet our needs of our families, of our rent, of our mortgage, whatever amount that is, that we don't continue to expand our hoarding and our lifestyle as our income grows? What if we had a cap on our lifestyle and we were free to give our resources away for the glory of God? Since being a pastor the past 8 years, I've been able to give my 10% to the church. Whatever salary that was when I started was $45,000. Most recently, $67,000. And then now, as a church planter, all right, everyone wants to know, how much do you make? No, very, very, very little. We spend on overseas child, and we continue to spend money on resources of the poor and homeless, but we still continue to make sure we tithe to God. And I've got to experience God's provision in my life since opening my hands to Him. Have you been opening your mouths in worship while shutting your wallets? You will experience God's grace and provision for your life as you take steps towards financial obedience. So how do we experience God? There's time, there's talent, there's treasure. There's three things that I want to ask you to prayerfully consider where God is leading you towards in tangible steps of obedience. And from there, I do believe you will experience His provision, His power, His joy for you in life. There's a dad that calls to his first grade son. He says, "Max," a few times. Max doesn't respond. Dad says, "Max, why didn't you answer me when I called you?" Max says, "I didn't hear you, Dad." Dad says, "What do you mean you didn't hear me?" Max is silent. Dad then says, "How many times did you not hear me?" Max says, "I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 times." Have you been putting off an act of obedience for the past 3 or 4 times God has nudged you? Maybe this isn't the first time you heard a sermon on time, talent, and treasure. I'm sure it's not. Have you been putting off giving for the past 3 to 4 years? Have you been putting off investing into your neighbors, inviting them over for dinner for the past 3 or 4 years? Have you been putting off serving your church with your giftedness for the past 3 to 4 years? There is an entire new experience of God's power he's inviting you to, because he's inviting you to obey. And it's out of that love-driven obedience you will experience his power in new ways. Close with this scene in a movie. Raise your hand if you've seen The Hobbit. So there's a scene where a crew of dwarves show up at his house. And he's just living his life. And these crew of dwarves show up in Bilbo's house and they invite him on an adventure with them. They say, let's go on this adventure together. Let's go. Live your best life. Let's go. And then Bilbo looks at this contract that the dwarves give him. And Bilbo reads it and it says, well, if you join our adventure, you might lose your hands and feet. They might get chopped off in war. You might get toasted by a dragon, his fiery breath. You might fall to your death in a long, long pit. You might die. You might get decapitated. And he's like reading this long contract. He's like, oh, heck to the nah. No way I'm going on this adventure. Y'all crazy. So he says no. The night passes, the morning shows up, he wakes up, and this house is silent. He looks around, everything is calm, order is restored, and he has that contract in his hands, and he just kind of happy with himself, but for a moment. Because he realizes he might be happy, he might be content, he might be safe, but he's not living the life that he was meant to live. So the next scene shows us Bilbo running through the Shire, and he's holding the contract. He says, dwarves, hold up. I want to join your adventure. I want to join you in this epic journey. I want to risk life and limb for this. And we see throughout the course of a movie, he experiences the craziest stuff. He fights orcs and he fights creatures and he comes to these near-death experiences. But at the same time, while he's experiencing all of these things, he's growing, he's learning. He experiences power that he never had, joy that he didn't know was available, pain that he never knew possible. And you see him at the end of the movie, he is grown, he is different, more mature, more experienced, deeper, and more seasoned in life. He experiences the fullness of that adventure because he took that leap of obedience. And that's something God is inviting you to. He doesn't task you with it. He doesn't make it an obligation for you. He says, I invite you on a journey with me to make disciples to the ends of the earth, one light bulb at a time. I invite you to this journey with me so that if you take these steps out of obedience, you will, in fact, experience my power in your life. If you take these steps of obedience in your time, in your talents, in your treasures, you will, in fact, experience new levels of joy I have for you. And ultimately, the only reason we obey is because of Jesus' obedience on the cross. Philippians 2, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Ultimately, perfect obedience is not what you're called to. It's faith in the one who lived it. It's faith in Jesus of the cross. Because it's impossible to live a life of perfect obedience. But it is possible to believe in Jesus who lived, who died for your sins, for my sins, and who rose again. And it's from that faith, receiving that love and that grace he has for you, we can begin to take steps of obedience, knowing that our identity is already gifted to us. It's received, not achieved. We are given grace. We work from our identity. We obey from our identity, not for it. And because of that, we can experience God's power in our lives, in our time, our talents, and our treasures. Father, we are so grateful that it is not a life of religion you have called us to. It's not a set of rules for us to climb like a ladder into heaven. But Father, we are gifted grace because of the cross. Because you obeyed a perfect life. You lived the life we could not live. You took every sin and you swapped it for the righteousness that you earned, that you lived, so that now we are given new life, new identity. We are given grace and right standing before you. So, Father, we believe. And for those of us that don't believe, help our unbelief, Lord. And in our belief, we can take steps of faith. We can take those scary steps with our time, with our talents, with our treasures. And it's in those steps we take, we can experience you, your purpose in our lives, community, our identity. We can experience all of that in deeper, more profound, more God-exalting ways. We thank you and we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.